This is the Drew Mariani Show. Where else can you pray with thousands of other listeners every day? Listen in to the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, where we're here for you on Relevant Radio.
All right, let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray the chaplet. I want to pray for Monsignor James Shea. I told him I would do that. He lifts up his needs, and we need good education in this country. We do. We need well-formed citizens, that's for sure. Hey, Sister Dorothy Ann Geyer, I hope I'm saying your name right. Thank you for your letter. I received a beautiful letter from this nun. Sister is in Boston, Mass. And she says, I just want to take the opportunity to thank you for your beautiful book, Divine Mercy, that you sent me. I'm so looking forward to reading. And she says, I thank all of you at Relevant Radio for making it possible. I'm a religious sister with a vow of poverty, and I'm unable to forward you a donation. But I assure you that I will keep you and your ministry in my prayers. May God bless you. Sister, that's more valuable than anything you could possibly send. You know, and I'm just so grateful for your prayers, and so grateful for those who can help and have helped in the past. It keeps Relevant on the air, and we're here for everyone. You know, I know you might be in a situation right now where you're unemployed, or you don't have a job, or things are difficult for you. You know, maybe you're just, you know, in over your head financially. I get it. And really is a heart suck, if you will. It sucks all the heart out of your life, doesn't it? You're filled with anxiety, and sometimes fear enters in, and all those things that we want to be free from. And it's such a tool, the evil one. I know what it's like. I have experienced, you know, really tough financial times in my life. I know what it's like to have made a lot of money and then have lost a lot and had nothing. And it was tough. It's a tough go. But I'll tell you what, God, in his providence, he never abandons you. Never. I mean, and one day I'm going to write some of these stories. I really, it's on my heart to do that. I've seen how God has come through. Sometimes he'd make me wait to the 11th hour, the 59th minute, and the 59th second. But he never, ever failed me. And I want to tell you, he will never, ever fail you. You might be in that situation right now where that legal case is coming up and it looks like the odds are stacked against you. It might be that that loved one of yours is back in the rehab or just has been arrested. It might be that your health diagnosis does not look good. The doctors say you only have so long to live, right? With God, all things are possible. Be faithful in whatever the course is. If the Lord's given you a cross to carry, a path to go down, then go down it. And walk it with the Lord. He will not fail you. He'll not abandon you. He'll bring good out of it. In the end, you will rise above whatever those circumstances are. Believe me, you will. And that's when miracles take place. Sometimes the Lord wants us to endure. He wants you to go through this. He's pruning you. Pruning is not fun. Believe me, I hate it. You know, don't like when the Lord cuts you back. But you know, if you're faithful to him, you're going to blossom all the more. And you're going to be glad. You're going to look back and say, my gosh, I never thought I'd get through that storm, but believe it or not, the Lord was in the boat with me the entire time. I can't believe it. Why didn't I see him? Why didn't I recognize it? So that might be where you are right now. I just want to give you some hope and say, hang in there. Better days are coming your way. Brighter days are in your future. The Lord will not fail you. Trust me on that one. I'm joined right now by my colleague, Beth Groshek. She hails from our creative department. Very talented. It's good to have you with me, Beth. Good afternoon.
Thanks, Drew.
Anything you want to lift up or pray for today?
I do. I have an intention for my friend Allie's dad, who has a recent cancer diagnosis. And then due to an infection, an antibiotic treatment for the infection, it's delaying his radiation.
Oh, no.
And so just prayers for him and their family and for the doctors and nurses taking care of him.
Yeah, please tell Allie I'll be praying for her family and for
you.
Her as well, especially.
Thank you.
A couple emails came in very quickly. A 97-year-old mother went into surgery for a hip replacement. And this person says, could you pray for my mother? She is the rock. She holds my 5 sisters and 3 brothers together, not to mention she's a prayer warrior. 97 years of age to have a serious surgery like that. Wow. Pray for God's mercy on that. Another mother wrote to me and says, could you pray for my 22-year-old son? We pray for a positive outcome tomorrow in court. May he be dismissed and discharged from any negative legal matter. I trust in God, and I am grateful to Jesus, Joseph, and Mary interceding for my son. So we'll pray for those situations. I know it takes a lot of faith, a lot of trust when you know, everything looks like it's stacked against you. Another person wrote to me with another intention. Well, there's lots of intentions. I know you better pray. We'll take your Twitter intentions too. So if you didn't get them through to me in email or you don't get through on the phone, simply go to at Drew Mariani Show. You'll follow us there on the show Twitter and leave us your intentions. Jake will share some of those with you. But let's begin before we run out of time. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Our first call today comes from Albert, listening in Whittier, California. Albert, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Hey. Thank you for taking my call. And my prayer intention is for my mother-in-law, Maria Montes. She's currently at the hospital. She has chronic kidney disease, pneumonia in both lungs. She's anemic. She required a blood transfusion. And all this while she's dealing with the beginning of Alzheimer's. She's just a devout woman and just super strong. And besides that, she's my daughter's best friend. Oh, and we just pray for a complete healing and for her to come home. She's just an incredible lady, and we're just praying for her.
Well, Albert, let's do that right now, okay? We'll pray for that healing, pray for that recovery, for that miracle that maybe you're seeking, and I just think of Mark 11:24, where the Lord says, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. So, Lord, I intercede on behalf of Albert. We pray right now for his mother-in-law, Maria, and we just pray for all those intentions he put forward, for his daughter, for his needs, and for all those who are now united with me. Hear our prayers, and in a special way today, Lord, answer us. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Our next call comes from Dina, listening in Chicago. Dina, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Drew. I'm calling for my sister who's 80 years old and lives alone, and she's got emphysema. I need a miracle from the Lord. It's very bad. She's 24/7 on oxygen. She can't breathe without it. Mm. But above that, she's got a lot of other health problems, and now she went and got shingles, and she's in so much pain.
Oh, my gosh.
And she's alone, and she has no help. So I need a miracle from God. I need prayers for her.
Well.
I need her to get well.
Well, Dina, you sound familiar to me. Did you have shingles and call into Divine Mercy and pass?
Oh, you got a good memory.
And you were healed, right? You had an answer to your prayer, right?
Yeah. Well, after a time, it started getting better after I had called, you know.
All right. Well, let's pray for your sister.
I can't
say
it was a miracle, but it could have been a coincidence, but it was right after I called you, I started feeling better. I thought I was going to commit suicide.
I remember.
Don't do that.
I remember you said that. I do. I remember your voice. Well, guess what?
No, it's my sister.
Well, all right. Well, look, let's have the same prayer. I mean, you know, we'll pray for the diminishment of these terrible symptoms because shingles is incredibly painful.
And then with all her other problems.
Yeah, I know. Let's pray for her right now. All right, Dina, we'll pray for your sister. Let's pray for you.
I appreciate it.
We'll pray for you too. I love those prayers. You know, God sometimes works with, you know, flashes of lightning and bolts of thunder, and sometimes it's very dramatic. Other times, the Lord allows medicine or technology or sometimes a slow healing to take place. But we're going to pray for that healing now from this moment forward, from the moment of these prayers, that those shingles, that the pain, the discomfort of not only Dina's sister, but anyone else who's in difficulty right now, that those symptoms now begin to diminish, that they become mitigated and ultimately alleviated. And Lord, I just pray for healing for all those crying out to you. So many people right now in chronic pain, having so many heavy crosses to carry, and they're just asking for your mercy, Lord. So as we come together, your children, invoking your unfathomable mercy, I ask that you hear these prayers. And from this moment forward, let those souls feel, see, and receive the gifts that you have in store for them. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, well, let's go to our next call in a second. I want to invite Jake in. He's been monitoring our Twitter account. It's another great way for you to send us your petitions. We get them through email. If you want to send a tweet, it is at Drew Mariani Show. You can find us there. My personal is at Drew Mariani, but you can certainly send it to the show at Drew Mariani Show, and Jake will share them. Jake, what's happening?
Yeah, it's wonderful to hear from our listeners on Twitter, and specifically today praying for Lillian as she is mourning the loss of her son. Her special needs son passed away, and she had the funeral yesterday. So let's pray for comfort for her and her entire family. Also, Rob in Chicago, we need to lift him up in prayer. He's been hospitalized with possible liver issues and is most likely going to need surgery because of that. Jennifer is asking that we pray for her as she has an ultrasound appointment today. And also Bernadette asking for prayers for her son and his sobriety. Let's pray for all those with addiction today.
Great intentions, that's for sure, and how destructive addiction can be. So, Lord, we give you every one of those attentions that have come in over Twitter, all those that Jake has voiced, all those now united with us. I'm going to sneak Sophia in as well. She's in California. Allow her to join us in the third decade. Hi, Sophia.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my petition. I just wanted to pray for my mom. I'm holding out a big cut. She's having a spinal tap as we speak. They think she might have cancer.
No.
So... she's my world.
Yeah.
I know that God is good, and I know he answers prayers, but I'm asking.
Yeah, I know.
My mom.
Well, Sophia, I'm sorry. I really am. I know how stressful this must be for you especially. Let's pray against cancer, okay? You say they may have found cancer. They're not sure yet. So let's pray for that miracle. And I love what you said. Let's hold out a big cup, right? Let's do that right now.
Yeah.
The Lord told St. Faustina in diary entry 548, you can mark it. Faustina wrote, she says, your duty, the Lord told her, he says, your duty is to trust entirely in my mercy. That's your duty. Just trust entirely in my mercy. My duty, the Lord said, and here's the relationship, the covenant, is to give you all that you need. I make myself dependent upon your trust. If your trust is great, then my generosity is without limit. So, Lord, I thank you for that limitless generosity. My trust is great. And I pray right now that there is no cancer for Sophia's mother I want to pray for her that she can have tremendous peace in this troubling time. And for all those who are seeking those miracles in your life, Lord, if you want us to carry a cross, if you're going to bring a greater good of it, then give us the peace in our heart that we need to know that. And just open our minds and give us the grace to carry it so we may grow in virtue and in holiness. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Melissa is joining us in St. Paul, Minnesota. Hi, Melissa. Good afternoon.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. I call a lot. I am just been sick since my daughter's been born. Likely some mold illness and hormonal stuff, but doctors can't figure it out, and I've kind of given doctors a break. They just kind of toss me off with anxiety, but I have developed many allergies, more than I can even keep track of, and I haven't been able to eat a warm meal with my family. I have to eat my own, I call it my frozen space food, but I'm grateful for it. And I can't stop losing my hair, and it's causing me, I know it sounds really minor, but it's really bad, and it's been going on. Yeah. And it's every shampoo, everything I put on my hair, and I have a scalp condition, and it just breaks off, and I just get an agony over it, and also struggle with my mental health. And
it's so hard, Melissa.
My family had to leave. My family left on a trip to Colorado, and I had to forego it because I couldn't figure out a way to get safe food with all my allergies, and I just want to live and enjoy life, and I believe that God wants me to do that, but I just really want relief and healing, and I believe in God's, you know, miracle healing powers, and I faithfully pray the chapel every day, and I just pray for safe travels for my family.
Amen. Well, you hang in there, Melissa. I mean, you're going through so much. I'm sorry that you have to carry so many different crosses. Thank I really you. Am. My heart goes out to you. And look, that prayer about losing your hair, that's not a small prayer. That's a huge prayer. You know, be a tough thing for anyone to go through, but like, let's pray for you. I know you're a prayer warrior. You're steadfast in your faith, and the Lord honors that. And Lord, I remember a story of a woman one time who was losing her hair. She called the chapel. I mean, she was literally losing it. And I know I shared this with Melissa in the past. She called back several days later. She said, I don't know what happened, but it was almost like overnight her hair began to grow. So God can do anything. There's no limit to what God can do, right? He can alleviate us of our allergies. He can allow our hair to regrow. He can restore sight, give mobility to the lame. I mean, the Lord can do anything. I'm not going to limit him ever. No way. Jesus said to St. Faustina, people don't know the scope of Jesus' divine mercy. Therefore, they do not pray for big enough things. I love her. She says, hold out a big cup. Let's pray big. Lord, right now, I pray for her. I ask for your mercy on this soul. I ask for healing. I ask for change of condition. I gather to you all the souls who are now praying with me, all those crying out, holding out that big cup, believing, asking for big things. So Lord, with trust and confidence, we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll take our next call from Massachusetts. Mary's listening to us there. Hi, Mary. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I am requesting prayers. A family member came out as transgender and is getting married, so-called marriage. And I'm asking prayers that for God's will in this family member's life. And also guidance from my husband and I as to how to relate to this family member. It's been heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And I just pray for all these people who are so confused.
Yeah.
I guess that's my request. And thank you, Drew.
I want to pray for you, Mary. And I know your prayers are heard by God. And they are. You know, we'll pray for your grandson. I know how much you love him. You know, the sexual orientation or gender identity doesn't change our love for family members or for others. And we just pray that God enlightens the soul and really helps to properly orient to your grandson. And I want to pray for marriage, of course. I want to pray for all those who are struggling in these areas in particular and who really need direction, maybe even healing. And Lord, I pray for the parents, the loved one, the grandparents, all of Mary's intentions. And I gather to you now, all who are united with me in prayer. We all have different crosses, different struggles, different trials. Lord, we just ask for the grace to endure them, that we may be pleasing in your sight. We pray for answers. We pray for miracles to these prayers as we now turn to you and pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
St. Joseph,
pray for us.
St. Faustina,
pray for us.
St. John Paul II,
pray for us.
St. Peregrine,
pray for us.
St. Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
St. Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
A Massachusetts lobsterman says he is lucky to survive an animal encounter in the open sea. He says it happened Friday morning near Provincetown on Cape Cod.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That's such a bizarre story, isn't it? Did you hear about that? CBS News was reporting I guess you call it a Jonah and the whale story, part two. I was talking to one of my producers this morning. I thought, you know, this whole story of Jonah and the whale, right? Is it a literary device, you know, used in some respects to show what Christ would go through, you know, in the tomb? Did Jonah really get swallowed by a whale? Did he live under the ocean for 3 days? You know, it's like, did the whale spit him up? And did he go ahead and, you know, convert Nineveh? Here's the thing. And I said to my producer, I said to him, you know, Why do people find that so hard to believe? Well, it's impossible. Somebody could be swallowed. Yeah, but it's also impossible to walk on water, right? It's also impossible to raise somebody who is decaying in a hot Israeli tomb like Lazarus after being dead for 4 days and saying, Lazarus, come forth, right? To raise somebody from the dead. Why is that? Is that easier to believe than somebody being swallowed by a whale? Yeah, I mean, just think about some of the great miracles that have taken place. I never limit God. I think we do ourselves a disservice when we do that, right? Christ, even in the in the New Testament, he talked about that. Do you remember that? I was thinking about that too a little bit, not too long ago, where Christ referenced Jonah, being in the belly of a whale for 3 days. And Jesus assumed that Jonah spent those 3 days in there. I'm going to go with what Christ thought. How's that? All right. I'm going to go with that. But just imagine, I'll share some of the story with you. Okay. Imagine you're doing your job, right? It's kind of a cool job. You're a lobster diver, right? You're a lobster diver. And that involves going into the icy cold Atlantic off the coast of Cape Cod. You grab lobsters, they're coming up from the warmer waters. And then all of a sudden, you're surrounded by pitch black, and you feel something strange go on. CBS News had an investigative look at what happened to one such lobster diver. Listen to this.
Michael Packard has been making a living for years diving for lobsters off the coast of Cape Cod, but on Friday, for a few seconds, he says he almost became the prey when he ended up inside the jaws of a humpback whale.
All of a sudden, I just felt this huge bump and everything went dark, and I could sense that I was moving.
Veteran lobster diver Michael Packard was hoping to make a catch yesterday, but he says he almost ended up on the menu for a medium-sized humpback whale. For 30 terrifying seconds, Packard says he was trapped in the whale's mouth.
The whale does not want a human dessert.
Dr. Ian Kerr is a marine biologist at the Ocean Alliance. He's been studying whales in Cape Cod for more than a decade.
I've been in this business 30 years, and this is the second time I've heard of it happening. This area down by Provincetown is a highly productive area, which is why the fishermen are there, the lobstermen are there, it's why the whales are there. And basically, he just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Kerr says humpbacks, which can grow anywhere from 25 to 40 tons, are gentle giants that pose no threat to humans.
How lucky is the diver to make it out of the situation alive?
I think he was very lucky. I think he's very lucky.
Yeah, the whale apparently spat him back out, didn't like him too much, but he ended up with a broken leg. He had some other injuries. He's going to recover, and what a whale of a story he has to tell, right? It's an amazing tale, that's for sure. Of course, as I said, it conjures up stories about another man who was swallowed by a whale, Jonah. And the difference, of course, is that Mr. Packard was only in the whale's mouth a short time. Jonah, according to Scripture, spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, not just its mouth. Was it some giant whale? Was it some prehistoric being? A lot of scholars don't take the story as literally happening. They don't. One footnote in the Ignatius Bible says that the details of Jonah being swallowed by a great fish and being spat out near Nineveh, the footnote says it's, quote, improbable. All right? But then again, I go back to the other point. There are people who were born blind, and they were born for life, or the withering of a fig tree just to its roots, just by Christ cursing that fig tree, right? Or healing the blind, or raising from the dead, or, being crucified and rising from the dead. I mean, those are pretty improbable, right? In our scientific age, it doesn't make sense. But with God, all things are possible. So I thought, look, let's talk about this. One of my favorite Old Testament scholars is a professor of theology at Franciscan University of Steubenville. His name's Dr. John Bergsma, and he's been with me for years. He's written a lot of great books. He often takes pilgrimages to the Holy Land. In fact, he might be taking one. You might want to jump on his. He's got a great one coming up, I think. But, he's an expert on Dead Sea Scrolls and a lot of other things. You can check him out. JohnBergsma.com is his website, or CatholicBibleTeacher.com. And I received an email from somebody who's having some visual problems recently. And thank you very much for your letter and for those for those cards. They sent me Apollo 13, like space, like an envelope with cards in them. And they said, could you spell some of the names? We don't know how to spell Tabali or Hans von Spakovsky. I don't blame you on that one, right? Bergsma is spelled this way. All right, if you want to check him out. It's John Bergsma. It's B-E-R-G. There's an S in it. B-E-R-G-S-M-A. JohnBergsma.com. Here's an easy way to remember it, right? CatholicBibleTeacher.com. CatholicBibleTeacher.com. Lots of great books, Jesus and the Dead Sea Scrolls, and, you know, a Catholic Introduction to the Bible, the Old Testament. He did some work with Bram Petrie. He's got a lot of other books. Just came up with some new stuff. We'll get you up to speed. But, Doctor, it's good to have you back. Good afternoon.
Absolutely, Drew. Great to be on with you again.
So this is one of those stories I wasn't sure I was even going to cover. I just found it interesting that a guy got, you know, swallowed by a whale, so to speak, or at least put in the mouth of it. And it made me think about Jonah. And then I thought of our scientific era that says there's no way that the book of Jonah could have happened. And I don't know if that's the way the Jews saw it or Jesus. You know, he cites proof of it, mm-hmm. if you will. You know, he said that he was going to spend 3 days and nights in the belly of the earth and then rise again, very much like Jonah did in the whale. Your thoughts on this story? Bring us back in time. Help us to understand the Jonah story.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the Jonah story was taken in all seriousness by people in ancient times. You know, the ancient Jewish writers speak of it as a historical incident. So they, you know, did not just see it as some kind of, you know, Aesop's fable about, you know, obeying God's will or something like that. It's interesting, though, you know, the problem is always, like, how does Jonah stay alive in the belly of the whale? But when we actually read Jonah, this was pointed out to me years ago, Drew. I never thought of it this way, but a fellow Bible scholar pointed this out to me. Doesn't actually say he was alive the whole time.
Right.
And I've come to think that, you know, from my own reading of the story, I think basically he was swallowed and he died. And it actually says something fairly close to that in the book of Jonah. It says he descended to Sheol, which was the realm of the dead, you know, in the worldview of those ancient Israelites. And so I think really what we got going on with Jonah is a resurrection. You know, he's spit out and brought back to life, which makes the parallel with our Lord, you know, all the more dramatic.
That's fascinating. I never thought of that. But look, it makes sense, right? You get thrown overseas in a storm. You drown to death. This mm-hmm. whale swallows you. You're dead for 3 days, right? Why can't the Lord raise Lazarus and the widow's son? And you know, why couldn't God allow him to be raised after 3 days for a number of reasons and then go on and do that? How did the early church fathers look at that? You know, how did they look at the story? Was it always they took that literally as well?
Yeah, we find that in the fathers as well, they understand that to be, you know, a historical event. So it's there wasn't a whole lot of pushback on the Jonah story in ancient times, you know, either from Jewish or Christian commentators. Right. So, you know, that's kind of the tradition. And, you know, I'm with you on that, Drew. I think the whole point of the story is that it's improbable. I kind of chuckled to myself when I was listening to you read that little footnote from a study Bible. I thought, do we need a footnote in the study Bible to tell us that, oh, that's improbable? I thought that was an easy thing to happen.
That's so true. That is so true.
The point is, it was miraculous.
Well, my guest today is Dr. John Bergsma. I'll tell you, I only have him for a few minutes today. If you've got a question, if you want to get in, share your thoughts, or be part of the conversation, you've got to call now. The number's 888-914-9149. I'll take a couple calls. It's 888-914-9149. Yeah, I was thinking about the story. It's one of my favorites in the Old Testament, just in respect to the fact that I can relate to Jonah. I mean, the Lord wants him to go to evangelize these people. He doesn't want to have to necessarily do it. He tries to avoid God in the whole process. But if the Lord has a mission for you in life, right, the right doors are going to open and the wrong doors are going to close. I've seen that in my own life. And if you're faithful to it, great good's going to come from it. And you look at what happened in terms of the conversion of Nineveh, the people putting on sackcloth and ash, and the fruit of him finally submitting himself to what God's will was and complying with it and how powerful that ended up being. You know, when I think about the science of this, I think we get often, you know, mired down in the wrong things. Even a scientific reading of the Bible, it really doesn't take away the power of the story, does it? Even if it didn't and it was just a literary device. I mean, it doesn't take away from the power of the story, or does it, in your opinion?
Well, you know, I think we want to, you know, keep with our Christian tradition in reading these things. And I think it makes a better parallel with our Lord's, you know, death and resurrection, if it's a real event.
Right.
A little bit odd if, you know, well, you know, Jonah's death and resurrection was fictional. And, you know, that raised the question, well, is yours also going to be a fiction?
Right. That's a good point.
You know, yeah. On the other hand, but, you know, you are right. The theological message of the book does stand and is good no matter what. And that is, you know, it's fruitless to run from the call of God. And, yeah, it's a call to spend some time in discernment and really ask ourselves. Yeah, maybe we could do that in prayer today, you know.
Yeah.
We got our prayer time later this afternoon or evening before you go to bed. You know, spend a little time asking, Lord, where in my life have I been running from your will?
Yeah. And the other aspect of the story, and I'm with you, I believe in miracles. I've seen them. You know, I've often shared on the air how I've seen food multiply and statues weep. I've been in the jungles when the Virgin appeared and seen miracles of healing and things that defy the laws of science. So I know that God can clearly do this. And I believe you take a look at the Old Testament, look at some of the things you and I have discussed in the past, the flood, we've talked about Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, you take a look at the parting of the Red Sea. And science is always looking for some sort of logical explanation for a lot of this. But I believe God's the creator of the laws of nature. He's above them. He can certainly suspend them. And with him, all things are possible. We pray every day at the chaplet here on the air. And we get reports every week of answered prayers, of miracles. So I never limit God. And I think the story is even stronger because of the miraculous nature. But I love your view that, yes, he died and he came back 3 days. He came back 3 days later. But I also love the rest of the story too, Doctor. I love the story of penance and of conversion and of God's mercy. It really is a story of God's mercy too. I love that. Let's grab a few calls. I know how quickly time's going to go here. John's listening in Chicago. If you want to get in, 888-914-9149. You can call now. John, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you, guys. You do a great job on the show.
Thank
I love
you.
To listen to you all the time and pray the chaplet.
Thanks.
The comment I was going to say is that I teach science, and if Jonah was swallowed by a sperm whale, they can be 60 tons, 60 feet long.
Wow.
Their jaws can be 6 feet long. They can easily swallow them. They breathe oxygen. If Jonah's whale stayed on the surface for 2-3 days, he may not have been sure of the time.
Yeah,
right. After all, he probably couldn't see much inside. He'd still be getting oxygen because the whale would be breathing, and there'd be oxygen in his mouth as well because the blowhole extends all the way down there, like our nose.
Well, that's super cool. Another theory, Doctor. I love it. So if he didn't die, maybe the Lord allowed the great sperm whale to stay on near the surface and breathe oxygen. Wow. John, I'm glad you called.
Glad you took my call. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Good, Doctor. I'll let you follow up.
Yeah, that's absolutely fascinating. Glad for that input. I did not know, the size of a sperm whale, and that's a fascinating point. It did not occur to me. I was always thinking, how do you breathe inside? But if it is an air-breathing mammal, which a sperm whale is, you know, there could be this way. So. Yeah, absolutely fascinating remark. Thank you for a caller there.
The other thing John said, too, is that his jaws could be 6 feet, you know, so he could easily, you know, swallow Jonah.
Yeah.
If that was good. John, thank you. That was a really great call. Dr. Stay with me. I take a short pause. When we come back, John in Evergreen Park will get you on the air. We'll take just a few calls. I only have Dr. Bergsman for a short time, and we're taking a look at Jonah and the whale. If you're just joining us, there was a story of a lobsterman who got swallowed. He was in the mouth of a whale, let's put it that way. Ended up with a broken leg and some other injuries. He was underwater a short time, but it does raise questions about this biblical story. How plausible was it, and what can we learn? Our conversation will continue with more right after this. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
All right, about 12 minutes before the top of the hour. Welcome back. It's good to be with you. My guest today, Dr. John Bergsma, an Old Testament Bible scholar, really an expert in a lot of different things, the Dead Sea Scrolls amongst others. We're talking about a story, and you probably have heard it because it's just such a strange story, about a lobsterman up near Cape Cod who was, I don't know if attacked, but he was almost swallowed by a whale. He was in the mouth of this whale for a short period of time, less than a minute, and this whale ultimately spit him back out. He had a broken leg and some injuries, but survived to tell the tale. And it pricked my own thoughts and my conscience. And I thought, well, gosh, Jonah and the whale, 3 days in the belly of a whale. How true is that story? What do we learn from it? So I invited Dr. Bergsma to be with us. And a couple theories had come up. Jonah perhaps died, and he was thrown off in the midst of that storm, and a whale swallowed him. He was in the belly of a whale for 3 days, and ultimately when he was spit up on the shores of Nineveh, brought back to life. You know, the Lord fused life back into him, perhaps. Very similar to Christ, you know, we see what happens later as Christ rises from the dead after being in it for 3 days. The other theory is he was swallowed by a sperm whale, right? We had a teacher just call up and say, you know, these sperm whales have 6 feet jaws. And if the whale stayed near the surface and was breathing oxygen through its, oxygen, what do you call that on the head of the whale, Patrick? What did he say?
Blowhole.
Blowhole. Thank you very much, doctor. The blowhole. That's it. That perhaps Jonah could have survived. So who knows? It's you know, good for thought. But let's take a call or two more for you, doctor. John is in Evergreen Park, Illinois. John, hi. You are on the air with Dr. Bergsma.
Yes, thank you very much, Drew. The thought I had is, and I've heard these discussions before, Jesus was Jewish, and so were the Pharisees, and they were always looking for anything to trip him up and make him to look like a fraud. Now, when Jesus said, I'll be in the ground for 3 days and rise again, just as Jonah was in the belly of a whale for 3 days and lived, if that was a false story, they would have caught him immediately and said, he really believes in that myth. That is not a true story. And they would have walked away from, you know, for good. Now, I've heard even people go to the extent they wanted to measure the throats of all fish and whales to see if a whale could actually swallow a man. And I'm thinking, if our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ can keep the sun and the planets in order every day, mm-hmm. Now that's something of merit. Who cares whether or not he could have done it with a fish and Jonah? I think our Lord would say, oh, ye of little faith, that you don't believe in the things that I tell you. And I think, you know, Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh, which is modern day Mosul, which is interesting, which is in northern Iraq, right. Because those people were like ISIS. They would have cut his head off if he went up there. The second reason is that they were so hard on the Jewish people. Jonah would have said, you know, let God wipe them off the face of the earth. But he didn't. He turned around and our Lord wanted one thing. What? Repentance. How about today in the world, America? We are loaded with sin. All God is saying, repent. I'll work a miracle for you. And I think that's more important than, oh my goodness, you know, what size of a fish was it? And could God have done that? Of course, God could. Again, if God can get the sun to rise in the morning, he can get that done.
Amen,
it was just
brother.
A thought.
Amen. I love it. And doctor, I'll let you respond.
Yeah, my response is preach, brother.
Amen. I love it.
That's great. I mean, a great point there. Oh, you have little faith. You know, when we read the scriptures, our Lord never criticizes the apostles for being gullible. You know, he never says, oh, come on, guys, you don't actually believe that stuff, you know, in the old scriptures, do you?
Right.
No, on the contrary, he's always saying, oh, you have little faith. Mm. And, you know, that thought kept me going through a lot of grad school, you know, and a lot of classes that were attempts to debunk different parts of the scriptures. So anyway, yeah, preach, brother.
Yeah, John, great job. Father Terry listens to us in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and he's online. He read something very interesting in an old paper. Father, thanks for calling in. Good afternoon.
Yes, I think I wish it was in the belly of the whale today because it'd be a lot cooler than 105 here in Albuquerque.
Ouch. That's hot. Wow.
Well, praise God. Hey, years ago I read there was a notice from an English newspaper that in 1890 a man who was on a whaling ship fell into the sea and he was lost for 3 days. And when his co-workers pulled up a whale 3 days later, he was inside it. And they said his body was totally bleached white from the digestive system, but he actually was alive.
Wow. That's fascinating.
I'll sign off there.
Thanks,
okay?
Padre. Appreciate it. Stay cool, okay?
God bless.
I love that story. I'd love to see that somewhere. So Doctor, lots of theories, you know, you point out. I mean, that's another one. I never heard that, but that's great coming from Father Terry.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's I've heard that report before, but you know, there's others that come along and question the sources of that newspaper report and, you know, raise issues of whether that the newspaper was accurate. And so you got one of those situations going on, Drew.
Yeah, of course.
With that account.
Well, good. Doctor, I only have a couple minutes left. I do want to talk a little bit about some of the books that you have, too, because I know you've dove into a lot of different issues from the Dead Sea Scrolls, which are a fascinating find, to the Old Testament. I know you just came out with a new book, too, on the priesthood. Should you get everybody plugged into the best way to get connected to you, how to get your books. And, of course, I know you're heading back to Israel, and that's always fun to be with such a biblical scholar like you and an expert on the Dead Sea Scrolls. Are you going to go to Qumran, where the scrolls are, when you go back to Israel?
Yeah, absolutely. We always hit that. That's one of our sites. We spend an hour or two down in that vicinity and then usually go over and visit the Dead Sea itself. So we'll be going June 20th through 30th of 2022. So about a year from about this time, we'll be heading back there. Tourism and pilgrimages are starting to flow again to the state of Israel. We're grateful for that. It's gradually getting back into full swing, and groups are going over again. And so there's a lot of pent-up demand, a lot of people eager to go over there because they've basically been on hold, Drew, for, you know, as long as COVID's been on it.
I'm not kidding.
And so many things have been delayed and postponed. So it's a great time to go.
Yeah, well, that sounds like a wonderful trip. And if people want more from on that or your books, just johnbergsman.com, or is it Catholic Bible Teacher? What's the best way to connect?
Yep, CatholicBibleTeacher.com, probably the easiest to remember, and that'll redirect over. I've got new books out on the Sunday readings called The Word of the Lord for Year B. So a complete discussion of all the readings for every Sunday in the current year.
Wow.
And folks are interested in that. You know, if maybe you teach a little bit at your parish or something like that, you might want to pick that up.
Well, always good to talk with you. Thank you for making time with us and helping us better understand some of these Old Testament stories. Thanks, Doc.
Absolutely.
We'll talk soon, okay?
Absolutely, Drew.
All right.
You bet, Drew. Take care.
Thanks. It's Dr. Bye-bye. John Bergsma, and he hails from the University of Steubenville, Franciscan University of Steubenville, I should say. He's a senior fellow also at the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology and an expert in Dead Sea Scrolls. Check him out, CatholicBibleTeacher.com. I always enjoy him. And we've talked about Sodom and Gomorrah and the finds that they found. Those are real cities, the city of Gomorrah, the city of Sodom, where they found some incredible heat event that took place, almost like a nuclear bomb went off, where the sand is crystallized, where they found the upper part of a person's body, the torso totally gone, but they found the lower parts of the body. And Jake and I were talking about that before the show, and he says, you know, times today, Drew, really seem a lot worse than they were even in the times of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Jake, I would agree with you on that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, even thinking about the Fatima apparition, when Our Lady appeared to the children of Fatima, and she talked about how, you know, that time, start of the century, was a wicked time. And I'm thinking to myself, wait, what? Like, 1917 was a wicked time? You just compare it to now. It's just, I shiver just to think about how much sin has really enveloped the world since then. And I think we all need to take that a little seriously in our lives.
No, you're not kidding. Well, it's a good point. We should learn from Jonah, right? People of Nineveh, they were wayward with the Lord saying, do penance, right? Amend your ways, convert. The people did. They were spared the justice of God. And that's where we are today as a people. I believe that very much. You know, I produced a documentary years ago called Marian Apparitions of the 20th Century. And in this, we looked at this whole global phenomenon of the Mother of God. Never before in the history of the human race have we seen so many reported apparitions of the Mother of God. What's the main message? Every single one of the apparitions in which the Mother of God comes, it's a call to return to her son, Jesus. And in many times, it's a call to do so before it's too late. I often reference Rwanda, and we talk about what happened in Rwanda, Africa, and the great genocide that would follow. We talked about what happened in Champion, Wisconsin, where the Virgin appeared, talked about a great chastisement that would follow. La Salette was another place. Fatima talked about the rise of atheistic communism. I can go down the line. You know, it's the same message. We should be like the people of Nineveh. We should do penance. We should amend our lives. We should return to God before it is too late. Pray, 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 pray. All right? And if you are Catholic, get into that sacrament of healing, that sacrament of mercy. Get back to confession. Stay with me. I'll be back with more right after this.
What we don't talk about is all the great things that are going on.
And that's why Red Line Radio is determined to bring people things which are uplifting and educational and inspiring and lead people to God.
Everything that you folks do is critically important ordinarily, but in a time like this, it becomes exponentially more important because people can take the time and listen to what other people are dealing with and pray with Father Rocky and the whole team. It's phenomenal.
Bringing Christ to the world through the media. Relevant Radio.